We have a double parsha this week, Vayakhel and Pekudei together, so it's special. It's always special. We have a very, very interesting beginning of the parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Klal Yisrael. It's the day after Yom Kippur, Rashi says. And Klal Yisrael is told, these are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to know. And we're expecting a very big chiddush from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he says, Sheshes yamim teyasa malacha, you should do malacha for 6 days. Uvayayim hashvi'i yielachem kaidesh, Shabbos shabbosan la'Hashem. And on the seventh day should be holy, it should be Shabbos to Hashem. If you do malacha, you will die. Le'sevaresh b'chomash v'zech v'yam ha'Shabbos. And if you burn any fire in your dwellings, that's prohibited. That's the chiddush that we were gathered to hear from Moshe Rabbeinu after Yom Kippur. Thought he would give us a Yom Kippur, you know, a Ne'ilah drasha or something to go into Sukkos with, nice shtickle Torah, a nice lumda, something. And he tells us something that we know already. How many times do we have to hear this about Sheshes Yom? Already from the beginning of the Torah, we know about Shabbos. And then the Aseres HaDibris is Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei Sheshes Yom Tavid. Same thing. Last week we had V'Shamer B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos. We know about Shabbos Hashem. We had a lot of education already about Shabbos. And now Klal Yisrael gets gathered together. Vayakel Moshe. They're expecting a very big drasha, something new. And Sheshes Yom Teyasa Malacha. Again, Nachamal about Shabbos. What's going on here? So there's a sefer that I saw by the name of She'eris Yaakov. And the She'eris Yaakov says a beautiful chiddush. The She'eris Yaakov says that this took place, this whole kehillah, this gathering took place when? It took place after the Chet HaEgel, like we said. After the Chet HaEgel, Chet HaEgel was Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah, Rachman al Itzlan. Obviously, it was primarily the Erev Rav, the 3,000 people that died were the Erev Rav. They were the real ones that were Avid it, you know, with all of their geschmack. But Klal Yisrael was definitely affected. They were influenced by this. And so Klal Yisrael also, by extension, were considered to have been in violation of Avodah Zarah in whatever Bechina that is. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, Kol HaMishamer Shabbos Kehilchasa. Whoever keeps Shabbos according to its halacha, you keep Shabbos properly. Afilu Eved Avodah Zarah Kedar Enosh, even if you are somebody who is Eved Avodah Zarah, you are an idol worshiper, like the Dar of Enosh. Who is the Dar of Enosh? Enosh lived, he's mentioned in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Bereishis, one of the couple of diaries after Adam HaRishon, he introduced to the world Avodah Zarah, and his generation started getting into Avodah Zarah. We'll discuss that later. But this is the Dar Enosh, who was considered to be a very, very bad generation in terms of Avodah Zarah, at least. And so if you're even that bad, a violator of Avodah Zarah, it doesn't matter. If you keep Shabbos kehilchasa, if you keep Shabbos properly, then meichon la al-kol avinaysav, says the Gemara. Meichon la, you're going to get mechila. You will be forgiven for even this grave violation of Avodah Zarah, one of the gimel chamuros, one of the three cardinal sins. But if you keep Shabbos, Shabbos has the ability to give you mechila, to find you atonement, even for the great sin of Avodah Zarah, even if you're mechalalit like the generation of the Dar Enosh. That violation, that grave violation of the Dar Enosh, that too you will find mechila from your Avera through the keeping of Shabbos properly, kilchasa. Says the She'eris Yaakov, now we understand why it was so important when Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Klal Yisrael after Yom Kippur. They just got mechila on their Averis. Now they're getting set to build the Mishkan. But before you do all that, says Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to have a refresher course about Shabbos. Yeah, you might have been told about Shabbos by Parshas Bereishis, by Aseres HaDibros, last week's Parsha and Parshas Kisisa, we told you about Shabbos, but apparently you need a refresher course because now you're keeping Shabbos is going to serve you a new dimension of keeping Shabbos, besides for all the other wonderful benefits that accrue to somebody that keeps Shabbos, but you're going to get mechila for the chet ha'ego. You're in need right now of atonement for the sin of avodah zarah that happened because of the ego. Keep Shabbos. Keep Shabbos properly. And by doing so, that's where you're going to find the ability to have mechila for your averus. When I learned in Eretz Yisrael, in Yeshivas Kol Torah, I had the great zchus of being in the shir of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And I've described it many times. I'm sure you've heard me speak about it. One time, Reb Shlomo Zalman in shir started going into drush a little bit, and he said the following pshat on a zemer Shabbos. One of the zemer Shabbos that we will sing it tonight in Mirtzah Hashem and Kol Mekadesh Shvi. Very strange charuz. Very strange paragraph in this zemer. It says like this. Mishaych chastecha liyadecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you to extend chesed, to give your chesed generously, liberally, liyadecha, to those that know you, meaning Klal Yisrael, those that know you, they love you. And how do we describe Hashem? Kelkanai v'naikim. You vengeful God, we want you to give chesed to those that know you. To those that know you, they love you, Klal Yisrael, give chesed. How do we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu here? Kalkane v'naikim. And then it continues, Neitchali yeh mashvi, those that keep Shabbos, Zachar v'shamer lahakim. Those that keep Shabbos, Zachar, the positives of Shabbos, the assays, the lois assays, they're keeping them lahakim. We want you to give chesed. So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked the obvious question. Why are you describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a kalkane v'naikim? You're asking him to do chesed. Imagine if you go to the king, and you say, King, I need a favor from you. I need you to do chesed with me. Please, you have to do chesed. You're such a king that's so wrathful. You're so vengeful. You have to do chesed with me. He's like, why is he describing me as vengeful? He wants chesed. So describe me as what? I'm a racham mechanan. I'm a merciful king. So ask me for chesed. You don't ask me for the opposite of chesed. A kanev and naikim is somebody that, like, he destroys things, he carpet bombs, he's very angry. So that's the way, that's the best description that the Zemer could describe the Eibishter with. When you're asking Mishay Chasach Leidecha, you're asking Kel kanev and naikim. Crazy. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says as follows. He says a beautiful pshat. He says like this. If you look in the Shira in Oz Yashir, it says, Hashem ish melchama, Hashem shemai. Hashem is a man of war. Hashem is his name. So Rashi says, what does that mean? He says, unlike Midas Basav Adam, unlike other mortal kings, Melech Basav Adam, when they're busy with war, they're not busy with giving out chesed liberally. They can't do both. They can't multitask. When they're engaged in war, they do war. They're all engaged in war. And when they're doing chesed, they're engaged in chesed. But they can't do both. It's very hard for a king to be at the same time in war, and war mode, and also in chesed mode. But Hashem is different. Hashem is an ish melchama. Even when he's doing melchama, Hashem shemai, meaning he has the shame of yudkei vavkei, is rachamim. He's able to be both at the same time. Unlike a human, we have to. If I'm angry about something, I'm full anger. Don't come to me for tzedakah when I'm angry, or when I'm giving chesed with somebody. Don't start coming and trying to make me angry. I have to be different. There has to be a line of demarcation between. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it all blends together seamlessly. He's a ish melchama. He's war. Even when he's engaged in war, he's still able to do chesed with the world. Imagine if when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy with war, he would stop doing chesed. Nobody would be able to eat. Nobody will be able to be healed. Nobody will be able to get what they need. Their tefillos wouldn't be. Hashem is in war mode. You can't ask him. No, Hashem is everything, unlike human beings. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman, this is what the Zemer is telling us. The Zemer is giving, you're right, it could have said, please do chesed with those that know you, kel racham achanun. You're a God, but that's not a chiddush, of course. If you're racham achanun, so it's not a chap that you could do chesed. That's your specialty. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're adding like another layer of shevach to the Rabbeinu Shlom, that even when you're a kelkanav and naikin, even when you're vengeful, you're still able to do chesed. Meaning, right now you might be engaged in war in Russia and Ukraine and this and that, but at the same time you're able to do chesed. So Meshay Chesed Le'Yadacha, give chesed to those that know you, kelkanav and naikin. Even it's not because you are, but even when you're kelkanav and naikin, you're still able to be so great, like sui generis in the world. You're able to be unique in that you're able to do chesed even when you're a kelkanav and naikin. So I love the pshat. I thought of a different pshat. And one time I think it was on Yantif, I walked Reb Shlomo Zalman home from his shul in Shaarei Chesed, the Gros shul, to his house, and I asked him for a shus to tell him another pshat on the Zemer. He says, yeah. So I said the following. The Rambam says, it's quoted by the Ramban, the Rambam in Maran Avuchim says that whenever it says in the Torah a lashon of kelkane v'naikim, I think somebody in yeshiva just asked me recently, maybe he's in this room, what does it mean Hashem is a kelkane v'naikim? He is angry. Is that, I thought we're not allowed to be angry. We're not supposed to be vengeful. We're not supposed to take nekama. So you're that's a shevach for the Rabbeinu Shlom that he is a kelkane v'naikim. He's a vengeful. He takes revenge. He's angry, wrathful. Whatever the translation of kelkane v'naikim is that a thing that we consider a shevach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he takes revenge? So the Rambam says it doesn't mean that he takes revenge for everything. We get angry at everything. Somebody steps in my toe, take revenge against him. Somebody, you know, isn't nice to me, doesn't give me maftar yaina. I get angry at the gabbai, I get angry at the rabbi, I'm angry at everybody. That's, I'm taking revenge against everybody. No, the Rabbeinu Shlom takes revenge, but only for one avera. Which avera is that? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angry, takes it very personally, kaviyachol. That's the avera of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol inflamed in anger and vengeance. He cannot tolerate when people, a Yid goes and he's Avodah Zarah, a Yid goes who's supposed to believe in him and serve him and Hashem Echad, Ushmei Echad, and then he goes and he starts bowing down to Avodah Zarah. So you take a Buddha statue or you take a crucifix or you take a this or that and you're bowing down to these things, Eitz Ve'Even, that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu go into kelkane v'naikim mode. That's what the Rambam says. Kelkane v'naikim is always Avodah Zarah. So I wanted to say that this is what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meshoy chaslech liyadecha kelkane v'naikim. When you have to be a kelkane v'naikim, when you have to be angry at us because we worshipped Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean always literally Avodah Zarah, that we have a statue in our dorm, and you know, in our rooms, and we're bowing to it every night, chalila b'chas. But there's other forms of Avodah Zarah that we could do. We'll talk about that later, Mitzvah Hashem. But there's other forms that you wouldn't even consider to be Avodah Zarah, but they're Avodah Zarah, let me name, it's maybe Abizrayat Avodah Zarah, it's a byproduct of Avodah Zarah, but it's Avodah Zarah nonetheless. Certain beliefs that we have, certain questions that we might have, certain different things that we think about or that we do that are also bebuchinas avodah zarah. So if we did any of those and you're angry with us and you want to take revenge against us, we're begging you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meshoy chasuch liyadecha, we love you, have rachmanis on us, give us chesed, even though we might deserve your wrath because we're avodah zarah and whatever bechina we are, but have mercy on us. Why? Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu have mercy on us? Because we're Shomer Shabbos. In this chus that we're Shomer Shabbos, you have to give us mechila for Avodah Zarah. Because that's the Gemara that we said in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, called Meshamer Shabbos Kilchasa. If you keep Shabbos Kalacha, even if you're Avodah Zarah Kedar Enesh, you get mechila. That's the pshat in the Zemer. Give us mechila for your averus. Give us chesed, kelkane v'naikim. We're Avodah Zarah granted. We want to get out of it. We want you to give us chesed, to give us mechila, and to forgive us, and to be back on your good side. How are we going to do that? One way. And we keep Shabbos. The one maila that we do have, yes, we sin with Avodah Zarah, but we have the maila that we keep Shabbos. Shabbos, the Gemara promises us that if you keep Shabbos properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you mechila. So I told this var to Reb Shlomo Zalman, and he was nana. He liked it a lot. He smiled. He enjoyed it. He said, Shkayach. He appreciated it. There was a great Rav in Hamburg. His name was Refrael HaKayin of Hamburg. He wrote a sefer on Lashon Hara, on Hilchas Lashon Hara. We always think the Chavetz Chaim was the first one to write a comprehensive work on Lashon Hara. It's not true. There was already somebody that preceded him a few hundred years ago by the name of Rabbi Refrael HaKayin of Hamburg. Tremendous guy, and tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was the Rav in Altona in Hamburg, and he's buried in that famous cemetery where the Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Anderson Eibeshitz, a lot of Gedalei Eilim were buried there. And he says on this Gemara, about even if you're Avodah Avodizar Kedar Enosh, you still get Mechila. What's so bad about the Dar of Enosh? Why are they like the poster children of Avodizar, that even if you're that bad, you still have to give us Mechila through keeping Shabbos? So he says like this, beautiful pshat. If you look in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Avodizar, he says, uncharacteristically, normally the Rambam sort of just tells us halachas. Here he goes into an entire history lesson of the evolution of Avodah Zarah. How did we come from believing in the Rabbi Nisham, the Bari Olam, all of a sudden we started being into Avodah Zarah, billions of people today are Avodah Zarah every single day. How did such a thing happen? He says like this, there was a man by the name of Enosh, and Enosh had good intentions. He started off with the best of intentions, as many things do. Many of the very, very evil movements of the world start with the best of intentions. One of these is Avodah Zarah. What happened? Enosh had an idea. He says, listen. He says, I'm supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm granted there's a Rebbeinu Shlomo in the world, and I want to serve him, but I can't see him. Now, I know that there are bodies in the galaxies that I can see. And they also serve Hashem. So the sun, the moon, the stars, Jupiter, all, everything, they all serve Hashem. I could see them. So let me start like sort of serving them. And they in turn, they'll be my shliach to serve Hashem. It's like indirect, but at least I can identify with the sun. I could see the sun. I could see a moon. I can make a little statue in my house of the sun, the moon. I'll worship Hashem, but through the sun. I'll make them the shliach. Then I'm not serving them. I'm serving Hashem, but through, like, the conduit is the sun, the moon. I could see them. I bow down. I could get into it. It'll be like an icon for me. I'll be able to materialize what I, you know, a servant of Hashem. And they, in turn, will get closer to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and will daven to him. But I'll daven indirectly to him through the sun. It wasn't a terrible plan. They meant well. It was obviously a wrong plan. They were very wrong for doing this, but this is their kavana. Eventually, says the Rambam, as the Doris got further away from Enosh and his original plan, they stopped understanding that it was really to Hashem that they were davening through the sun, through the moon, and they started just davening to the sun and to the moon, and that was the end. They forgot about the Rebbe. They thought that the sun was a kayach b'fnei atzma. The sun was its own power. So if I worship the sun, that's it. There's no God above the sun necessarily. I just can worship the sun. And that's where Avodah Zarah began. And from then, obviously, that's why we call an Avodah Zarah an Akum. What's an Akum? Akum is Avodas Kaychavim Umazalas. You're serving the Kaychavim, the Mazalas, because that's how it all started. They thought that they would serve these in-between Emtsayim, emissaries of Hashem, but it turns out they stopped doing that as an emissary. They started just worshiping these emtsam themselves, and that was real Avodah Zarah. So what's so bad about Enosh? He had good intentions. Says Rabbi Refrael HaKayin Mehamburg that's exactly the problem with Dar Enosh, because since they had such good intentions, they didn't think anything was wrong. They thought that they were fine. They were really being Avodah Zarah, but they didn't realize it. And because they were doing that, they didn't have a chance to do tshuva. See, sometimes it's much better, in a sense, to be amazed than a shaygeg. Amazed means I did something wrong. I know I did something wrong. I went into McDonald's and I ate a cheeseburger. I knew I was doing it. Sometimes you eat basar b'chalav unknowingly. You didn't know about it. You know, all of a sudden you see on the wrapper that there was really, you know, that it, you thought it was, this type of thing, and really it was that type. It had milchigs in it. Yeah, it was inadvertent. A shaygeg, when things are shaygeg, I don't take it seriously so much. I don't, that's a shaygeg. Nope. I didn't mean it. It was unintentional. It's not a chiyav this. It's not a chiyav skilo, kari. It's just, it's shaygeg. When you have a shaygeg, you don't do tshuva so much. Mezid, you did something wrong. Achatasi, avisi, fashad, I feel terrible. I did something against you. When you do something with good intentions, you don't do tshuva as well. And when it came to the Avodah Zarah, to the Egel also, this is my addition, the Egel was also like that, by the way. The Egel was also something that Klal Yisrael didn't have bad intentions, per se. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't here anymore. We don't know what happened to him. So we want to bring, we want to start serving an Egel, but not the Egel itself, but as an Emsai. But the only problem is that Hashem didn't command you to do that. That's what the Beis HaLevi says. It was a good idea in theory, but the only problem was God didn't tell you to do that. Hashem didn't want it. Says Rebbe Fal HaKayin Mehamburg, therefore, what's the kapara? Kol HaShemer Shabbos Kilchasa. You keep Shabbos. That's the kapara. Why is Shabbos a kapara? He says like this. Because if you keep Shabbos the way you think Shabbos is supposed to be kept, that's a problem. That's like more of a desire. Let's say I say, listen, I'm not learning any halachas of Shabbos. I don't know much about Shabbos. I want to keep Shabbos the way I feel Shabbos should be. I know a lot of people like this. Shabbos is a day of rest. So you know what I'm going to do all day? I'm going to sleep all day. I'm not going to even go to Minyan. Just wake up when I'll wake up like a regular guy wakes up on a Sunday morning, you know, with the Sunday Times delivered to your door and breakfast in bed and whatever. That's the, you know, that's what my, so Shabbos is a day of rest. I'll read newspapers all day and I'll sleep a little bit late, and then I'll go have some cholent, have some schnapps, and then go back to sleep for a couple of hours or many hours, and I'll shmooze lashon hara. That's the way I keep Shabbos. That's avodah zarah. That's your Shabbos. That's your notion of Shabbos. That's not God's notion of Shabbos. You have to keep Shabbos kehilchasa, meaning you have to keep Shabbos the way Shabbos is intended to be kept. You have to learn on Shabbos with a geshmak. You have to daven with a geshmak. You have to eat properly with the right suda, with the right kavanas, with the right, with no lashon hara at the table. And you have to be able to have the right kavanas going into Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you have to prepare for Shabbos. You have to come to Shabbos early. You have to leave Shabbos a little later. You have to, you know, be sad when you're leaving Shabbos. You have to, and then you have to have, actually keep every halacha in Shabbos. It's very complicated, these hilcha Shabbos. You have to know them. The Mishnah Berurah brings in his Akdama to Chelak Yimel, which is the Chelak dealing with Hilchot Shabbos. He brings from the Yaris Devash, famous line, three lines, Ukvar Heyed Banu Hagain Bal Ur Mitumim B'Sifra Yaris Devash Ki I Efshar Klal B'Mitzius. It's impossible Sheyinatzal Mi'Isser Shabbos to be spared from the Isser of Shabbos Im Lo Yilmed Kaladinim Al Biriam Heytev Heytev. If you don't know Hilchot Shabbos, you're toast. You can't keep Shabbos unless you know Hilchot Shabbos. If you don't know Hilchot Beirer, you can't set the table on Shabbos because you don't know how to separate the knives from the forks. You don't know the proper way to separate, you know, anything that you're doing. You don't know Hilchot Shechita, so you can't make a tea if you want to have lemon in it because you don't know how to do it. You can't make you can't have a piece of salmon with lemon on it. You want to spritz the lemon on it. Are you allowed to? Are you not allowed to? What's the way to do it? What's the way not to do it? You don't know how to take a cholent pot off of the fire, how to put it back on the fire, you don't know how to do anything. Because you didn't know the halachas. Oh, but you don't need, you know, you were in yeshiva many, you don't need to, you have to know the halachas. If you don't know the halachas, he says you're going to be mechal Shabbos. It's impossible not to. How could you, unless you're sleeping in bed the whole Shabbos, you're going to be mechal Shabbos. Every move that you make, you're going to go outside, you don't know the halachas of Erev, you don't know Haitzah, are you allowed to fold the towels on Shabbos after Davin? You're not allowed to. Are you allowed to carry the towels home from Shul, or are you not allowed? Are you allowed to push a baby carriage? And, you know, if you don't have an Erev, there's a million halachas. Amir la'akum, are you allowed to send a FedEx package the day before Shabbos? to somebody. It's going to arrive on Shabbos. Are you allowed to drop a letter in the mailbox before Shabbos? If you know that there's many halachos. Are you allowed to tell a guy to turn on the lights, to turn off a light, to put the air conditioner on, to put the heat on? There's a zillion halachas. How are you going to know that? You have to know Hilchos Shabbos. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know Hilchos Shabbos. So if you're in violation of being Eved Avodah Zarah, even Kedar Enish, who didn't know to do, they thought everything was great. They thought they were doing fine. They didn't do tshuva. The best way to undermine that Avodah Zarah Dika mentality is by keeping Shabbos, but keeping Shabbos properly, Kilchasa, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Halacha, the way you're supposed to, because that shows that I'm not being Eved Avodah, I'm not doing my own foreign worship, but rather I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kilchasa properly. And if you're able to do that, the reason why Shabbos is a kapara of all things for Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah, basically, what is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is a lack of Emunah in Hashem. There's no bigger lack of Emunah in Hashem than to serve some other god. So Shabbos is the antidote for that. If you want to get your Emunah back, you have to keep Shabbos, Kilchasa, up properly with a geshmak, with a warm heart. My grandfather, the Wurzburg Rebbe, used to say that Shabbos, keeping Shabbos with a warmth, with a passion, you love Shabbos, that's the way to thaw out the cold heart of a disbeliever. You have somebody that's a Mechal Shabbos, that means that he doesn't believe in Shabbos, he has a callous attitude, a cold-hearted attitude towards the Rebbeinu Shlom, towards Amunah. So how does he warm up? There's only one way to warm such a heart up, that's by keeping Shabbos. Keeping Shabbos properly. The stipler, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father, was a stipler gain. They're very different, by the way. The stipler was very serious. The stipler was kulei din. He was a nevardiker. If you ever see a picture of the stipler, he looks so afraid always. Like he's a mamish Yerushamayim on his face. You see the face of a tremendous Yerushamayim. His son, the stipler, was obviously also tremendous. I mean, Reb Chaim was tremendous Yerushamayim, but he was always smiling. Very different. Different Aveda, different Derech and Aveda. The stipler wrote the Kilas Yaakov full of lumdis, like very, you know, on the Masechtas, the Yeshivish Masechtas. Reb Chaim was very different. Reb Chaim, was broad. He knew Shas, the stipler also knew Kol Torah Kul, of course, but it was a very different. They had a different, that's a beautiful thing. You don't have to be a cookie cutter of your father. Your father has one mahalach, you can have a different mahalach. And they're quite different in many different ways. They were very close as well. I'll tell you a quick story about Reb Chaim and his father. They used to learn every day together, Reb Chaim and his father, the stipler. They had a seder together. So one day, they had a seder, let's say in the afternoon. One morning, the stipler's daughter, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's sister, came in and was schmoozing with her father, and she said that Chaim is sick. Now, she didn't mean Reb Chaim Kanievsky, her brother. She meant her son-in-law. She had a son-in-law, Chaim. She was talking about him. So she told the stipler that Chaim is sick. He automatically assumed that it was his son, Reb Chaim. So as soon as Reb Chaim showed up to learn with his father, so the stipler said to him, "What are you doing here? Go back and go home and go to sleep." And the stipler, Reb Chaim, didn't understand why he felt fine. Everything was good. He didn't know why his father was telling him. But the father says, the tata says to go home and go to sleep. He's going to do it. Reb Chaim probably never slept during the day ever in his life. All of a sudden, the stipend says, so anyway, he goes home and goes into bed and you know, goes to sleep. Father said, keep it up. That's what his father said to do. So Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Reb Chaim's wife, comes home and you know, she just happens to go into the bedroom. She saw the unthinkable. She saw her husband sleeping in bed during the day. She says, Chaim, are you okay? What's going on with you? You know, you're sleeping during the day. What's going on? So he says, yeah, my father said I should go home and go to sleep. She says, did he say why you should do it? I said, no, but he said to do it. I should do it. She says, something's up here. I don't know. I'm gonna go to the stipler and ask him what. So she goes to the stipler. She says, why'd you tell Chaim to go to sleep, to go home and go to sleep? She said, because he's sick. She said, no, he's not. Who told you he's sick? So he said, well, my daughter came to Chaim. She went to the daughter. And she said, no, it's my son-in-law, Chaim. He's coming back to the stipler. He says, it's not Chaim Kanievsky, it's Chaim whatever, your grandson-in-law. He says, oh, so then tell Reb Chaim to come and learn with me. So he goes back to Reb Chaim, she goes back to Reb Chaim and says, explains the whole story, and then he goes and learns with his father. That was the, you know, you understand how Reb Chaim was so mevatel himself, kafra da'ara to the stipler. The stipler was the address of Das Torah, just like Reb Chaim was the address of Das Torah in 23 Rashbam when he was alive. The stipler B'chayev was the place that the whole world went to for brachas and for yeshuas and for etzis and for hadracha. And when they couldn't go to him directly, they would write him letters. The stipler happened to be hard of hearing, kiyodua. He is very, very difficult for him to. So if you came to him during the week, very often people would write down what they want, you know, what the question is or for a bracha. So somebody once came to him during the week, and it was during the Sfira. It was during Chol HaMoed, I think. It was during Chol HaMoed. So he said, it was during Chol HaMoed. So he said to the stipler, you know, I want a bracha. So the stipler couldn't hear it. So the problem was he couldn't write it down because it was Chol HaMoed. The stipler didn't let people write in Chol HaMoed in front of him. So he didn't know what to do. So he had a good chap. He went to the Amud where there was a Vesein bracha sign. He took it off the Amud and he said, this is what I need, Vesein bracha. And the stipler smiled and he gave him a bracha. But most people wrote him letters. And these letters were gathered, or at least the answers to the letters that the stipler gave him, gave these all these many, many thousands of people were answered. And they were compiled in a sefer called Krina de Igrisa. Krina de Igrisa. We have three volumes in Yeshiva. I think that's all there are. And it's very, and when I was a bachra, I had a seder learning Krina, during Musar seder, I would learn Krina de Igrisa. And a lot of it is very charif, it's very sharp, it's very, a lot of, you know, things that are very hard for us in America to digest. But the stipler, it was talking to, I guess, primarily Bnei Eretz Yisrael. It was really, you know, the hardcore, you know, everything. No, you know, if you look in there, you know, don't look too hard because he's not too fond of college, but and other things. But anyway, one of the letters was, and it's titled, it's, if you want to look it up, it's in Chelek Aleph, letter Mem He, 45. It says, Sveikus Be'emuna, you have a suffix in Amuna. Rachman al-Itzlan, many people, even Yeshiva Bachrim, sometimes have sveikas in Amuna. I cannot tell you how many times people have come to my table here in Yeshiva over the last two decades and telling me that they have sveikas in Amuna, they don't believe. Or if they do believe, they're not sure if they believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom, in Hashkacha Pratis, in whatever. Very often, by the way, it comes from the fact that they're looking online at websites that are very, very anti-Torah. I'm not going to say the names of these websites, but it's written by disgruntled yeshiva bachrim, disgruntled from a yidden. They know the shprach, they know how to speak in a yeshivish way, and they'll write about their kfira and their minos and about their, and or they'll undermine emunas chachamim, they'll speak against Kedai Yisrael. And the more that you imbibe, the more you digest this kfira that you find on the, I don't think anyone necessarily is going to a library and taking out dusty books on philosophy and, you know, I don't think that's the way people get their information these days. I think it's much easier. You know, they Google it, and if you could find anything on the internet, and they could break apart your amuna post by post, comment by comment, you know, on all the Ikrei Hadas, and all the, from Brias Ha'ilam to Matan Torah to Kriyas Yamsuf to Eser Makis to Hanukkah, to Purim, to anything. They could rip everything apart with a couple of lines of comments or whatever. And you have to be extremely, extremely careful to avoid those sites with anything that you can. You know, we always think of the internet as the biggest threat of the internet is Gilei Arayos. And it is a tremendous temptation, obviously. It's very, very, it kills also a lot of Bachrim. But more so, in a sense, Gilei Arayos is a terrible thing, but you could stay religious, you could still daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom after Gilei Arayos. But it's very hard to stay religious, to daven, and to learn, and to take Yiddishkeit seriously after you're exposed to Avodah Zarah, Kfiras, and Minas. So the first thing that we have to do is not look at those sites. Okay, I hope I didn't invite people, make people curious looking at those sites by talking about it, but I don't think anyone in this room or on Torah Anytime is going to, is in that gather. So we're just saying that don't even casually look at sites if you're curious, if you don't, stay away from them. As soon as you see it, you know, just like you would if you saw schmutz, you have to right away, you know, shut the computer off and throw it out your window. That's what you should do for Avodah Zarah also. It's much worse, in a sense, to be exposed to Avodah Zarah than Gilui Arayos. That's not a cool on Gilui Arayos, that's a chumra on Avodah Zarah. Don't think, okay, fine, so if I have a choice, no, you don't have a choice of either, obviously. But Avodah Zarah is very, don't think, well, I don't see any schmutz on this site, it must be mutter. It's not mutter. It's very usser, and it's exceedingly usser, because it's something that's very hard to get out of your brain. And this is what Bachram come to me about, you know, about how do I get it out? I have it in my head. I read this about that. I read that about this. I have this, you know, hashkaf already shaku in my brain because I exposed myself to this and that. What do I do now? That's a tough question. How do you, you know, I can't spray something in somebody's face to make them forget what they saw. So what do you do? So Baruch Hashem, we have a stipler in the world. I wouldn't know what to tell somebody, but the stipler does know it. And, you know, he's the Makara of Tyre Misinai, of the Amud Ha'ira, the Amud of Ashkafas HaTyre and Yerushamayim in the world. B'dvar HaSheila B'ish Echad. A person asked me, Hashem Evalvulim Eislai Machshavais Rois Rachman Alitzlan, Bin Tyra Min HaShamayim. He has questions, he has doubts about Tyra Min HaShamayim. So he says, I'm going to answer you. And first he describes how the whole concept of being of Kfira, he says, comes from the Sfekas and Muna, the Yusait is Gaiva, he says, which is Aviyah Vaisatuma. Who are you to say that the Rabbi, you have Sfekas and Amuna, you're going against the Rabbeinu Shalom? It's all Gaiva. You feel like you have the ability to have Gaiva. And basically says it comes from your childhood. You already felt that you had Gaiva from a childhood. And so it continues, and it comes to the Sfekas and Amuna. Obviously, the stipler didn't even have, they didn't have internet back then. He didn't have an inkling that it would be so easy for us today to be exposed to the internet. So we have to come up with ideas how you have Sfekas and Amun. It must be from, you know, from Gaiva. No, it doesn't have to come today. It doesn't have to be Gaiva. It could be an Anav and still just like casually be surfing the web and you come across a million things about which puts in your brain Sfekas and Amunah. So the stipler says as follows. He says, it's a terrible aveira to have a suffix in Amuna. Once you fall into it, who cannot begather onus, he's already an onus, he can't even help himself anymore, he's drowning. You caused it on yourself. He says, I'm going to give you a few tikkunim, what to do about it. If you are plagued by Sfekas and Amuna, and hopefully nobody in this room is, but if you are, if sometimes, you know, you have questions, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Is Tyre Min HaShamayim? Did Yetzias Mitzrayim really happen? Did the SMI, all these questions that unfortunately many people have Sfekas about, I'll give you some tikkunim that will help a lot, L'chaper al avar, hein l'sakein al haba. And it's gonna be good for you in the future. And the first thing that he says is Ha'echa Lishmar Shabbos Ma'id Bechal Dikdukav. By keeping Shabbos Ma'id, not just keeping, we all keep Shabbos. Everybody in this room keeps Shabbos. But to keep Shabbos Ma'id, keeping Shabbos properly, really, with all the dikdukim, with all being machmir in every little thing, being medaktik on every little thing about Shabbos, every malacha, you don't know if you can or you can't, then don't. People say, I don't know if I, you know, could I open this twist tie? Can I not open this twist tie? Is it okay? Is it not okay? I'm stumbling there, paiskim that are makel. There might be, but be medaktik. Know if you can or you can. Know if it's mutter to open a bottle, to open a can on Shabbos. You have a maserah that you can? Great. But if you don't or you don't know, then figure it out. Take a sefer, learn it. V'kol shekeinim efshar loy sholei ledaber shum dvarim b'teilim Shabbos kodesh. And certainly you shouldn't speak any dvarim b'teilim on Shabbos. If you're somebody that is has sekes, even if you don't have sekes emunah, but if you have sekes and emunah, how do you keep Shabbos properly? How do you keep Shabbos properly? By being careful with what you speak about on Shabbos. When I was a bachur, I went very, very often to my Rosh Yeshiva of Aaron Schechter, who should have a refuah shlema. So the Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin, and you know, he has a tremendous hadras panim, he had a beautiful white beard, and he invited me very often to come to his house for Shabbos, and on Shabbos, his face, which always glowed specially. And the way that Shabbos looked in his house is very different than I think many of us, you know, were ever saw a Shabbos table. There was no Dvarim B'Teilim. It was the most enjoyable meal in the world, but without any Dvarim B'Teilim. Basically, he would say the Zemer before Kiddush, make Kiddush, we'd go wash, we'd come in and have Lecha Mishnah, we'd have some fish, no talking, then everybody would be given a Mikrais Kedailes, and whatever he was up to in his Mavir Sedra on the Parsha, we would learn together a Ramban, or an Ibn Ezra, or a Rashbam, or something, and then we'd close it, you'd say Ara maybe on it, and then we'd go and we'd have the soup, sing Zmiris, and then we'd go from there, you know, to have take the Chumashim out again, learn a little bit more, and then have the main, and then have, after that, more Chumash, more Zmiris, and then have dessert. There was no Dvar B'Talim. There was no Lashon Hara. There was no schmoozing about what happened during the week, what happened in politics, what happened in the stock market, whatever, nothing. Never saw such a thing in my life. It was pure Kedusha Shabbos without any Dvar B'Talim. It can't be done. And it makes Shabbos, I'm not saying that you have to do it or that you will do it, but if you find that you have a problem with Emunah, this is the way to be Mechaper for it. By doubling down on whatever you do for Shabbos, do it more, do it better, do it earlier, do it with a love, with a passion. Learn the halachas of Shabbos. V'u inyan kaddish v'naira. Where does the stipler get this from? Where does the stipler get this, that if you have Sveikas and Emunah, you should learn, you should keep Shabbos ma'ayid? The Gemara that we started with, V'amr Chazal, da'ashaymer Shabbos kilchasai, afilu eved avedizar kedar enesh meichonai. Shabbos is the antidote that Chazal tell us for avedizara. What do you think this is? When you have Sveikas and Emunah, that's avedizara. Basically, you have, okay, maybe it's a Suffolk Avodah Zarah, but it's Avodah Zarah. It all stems from Avodah Zarah. These questions that we have in our head, if we should have them, and we want to get rid of them, we want to wash off our brain, we want to, like, take our brain out of our head, scrub it down, and put it back in so we don't have these Sveikas and Emunah that are haunting us and that are bothering us, that are pestering us. We shouldn't have had it in the first place. That's the truth. We should never look at these websites, should never take books or magazines or listen to podcasts or whatever it might be that speak about other religions or comparative religions, or if you're taking any courses in this yeshiva. I don't think we give any courses that have any meanings, but if they are, then come to me, let me know, and we'll stop it right away. One of the great things that we always pride ourselves about in the yeshiva is that, like Dr. Landel of Hashem used to say, it's chulin shenas al taras hakaydesh, that it's chulin but with kedusha. If there's any kfira, minus, apikorsis that you find the teacher is spouting, then come to us or come to the dean and we'll deal with it. And it's a very, very important thing to understand not to expose yourself to. Once you expose yourself to it, it never gets out of your brain. It's very similar to Gilui Arayos. Once you see a bad thing on, you know, you'll never get it out of your brain. You'll always remember that. It'll always come back to you, generally at the worst possible times when you're davening, like Ne'ilan Yom Kippur or something. That's when when all this stuff comes, you know, racing into your head. That's why the Chassidish Sfarim say that when you're clapping Al Chait on Yom Kippur, you know, all the viduyim, and you have your art scroll and you have your super art scroll with all the many averis and the aleves and the bays and the gimels, and your mamash going through all of them. They all speak very graphic stuff about, you looked at this and you read lewd material and you saw this and you looked at that and you gazed at, you know, and you're like, oh my, you know, says that's not so good. Like, do it quicker. Do the viduy quicker. Understand what you're saying. Go weiter. Because once you're starting thinking about lewd material, you're going to start chazering a whole year of lewd material, or maybe a few years of lewd material on Yom Kippur. He says you're going to be deeper in the mud after your viduyim than you were even before your viduyim. So you have to clap al chet and move on. You did tshuva quickly and move on. Move, move, move. Don't like start thinking about, yeah, Rebbeinu Shlomo had these lewd thoughts. No, because then you're going to start remembering it. Avodah Zarah is very similar. Avodah Zarah also, you hear something, it might be when you're a young bacher, it might be yesterday, it might be today. You hear something, it goes into your brain, you'll never get it out. So the first thing you should do if you want to avoid Tzveikus and Emunahs is batten down the hatches. Don't allow any Avodah Zarah, any Minas, any Apikorsis to come into your world, into your ears, into your eyes. That's the first thing to do. That's a Sur Meira. But if you already did it, now it's in. What do I do now? How do I get rid of it? Shabbos. Shabbos is the Makar Bracha. If anything can get it out, it's keeping Shabbos, but not keeping Shabbos like we always do. We always kept Shabbos. That didn't help because we're not keeping Shabbos properly. Keeping Shabbos properly is a Rav Aaron Schechter Dika Shabbos. It's a Shabbos that you're mamish, you feel Kedusha Shabbos. If you're jumping at, you know, if you're doing Shabbos with your Lashon Hara, with your jokes, and with your schmutz, and with your, and then you're reading, you know, this newspaper and that magazine, I'm talking about even the frum magazines, quote unquote, you know, the Amis and the Mishpachas and the Mudiyas and the Yeter and all that, you know, it's better obviously than the other stuff. If you have to read something and you can't learn, it's much better, but it's also full of all the stuff. It's full of, you know, business, and it's not Shabbistic. It's not Shabbistic. So avoid all that. Try to keep Shabbos holy. It has to be holy. Not another day that you're off from yeshiva, off from work, off from... It has to be a day that we make Kaddish. We find Kedusha in Shabbos. And when we make it Kaddish, then we could have a mechila for all the Avodah Zarah, the Cheta Egel, the Dar Enesh, the Hairas Heter. We think it's okay what we're doing. It's not okay. But the way that we get it out of our system is by keeping Shabbos and by keeping Shabbos Kilchus up. He gives other eitzes as well to say Amin Yeshmer Abba B'Kavana. He says to say the Parshas HaTamid B'Chol Yom before davening starts and before Mincha. He has a reason for that also. He says, I saw in Svarim HaKadoshim that reading Shiras HaZinu every day also is very good for getting rid of... But the main thing is Shabbos. The main thing is Val Kulam is keeping Shabbos properly. And when we're able to keep Shabbos properly, that is the way to do it. Now, keeping Shabbos properly means that you have to be with the right chevra. It means you have to be with Bnei Torah. You know, if you go home every Shabbos and you're wondering, hey, why am I not, unless your home is a home that's not like we're describing, but if it's a regular home, then it's a good chance you're not going to be able to keep Shabbos properly. And I'm appealing to you a million times over, we discussed this in previous Shabbos, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I want that after Pesach, we should make a concerted effort to come back, COVID is over, and to come back to yeshiva every single Shabbos. Unless you have a brother's bar mitzvah or a best friend's afruf, you should be in yeshiva on Shabbos. We have to make yeshiva great again on Shabbos. Okay, and I'm not necessarily a Republican, but we have to make yeshiva great again. It was great. We used to have five tables, long tables full of guys before COVID. And now, because Shiatira, we have like, you know, I don't want to describe online what we have. But it's very schwach. And I don't know what everybody's thinking. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what, like, happened, what COVID did to us. But we have to come back again. We have to come to yeshiva, make yeshiva geshmak, make it holy, make it this avir that we could go down to Seder and learn Friday nights. In the winter, we could learn a whole night Friday night. You mamish can chaperein, you know, 6-7 hours of learning beretzifos. These Shabbosas, now they're getting later, so you have a Shabbos afternoon to learn. You rest a little bit, you learn a little bit, you have fabreng together with your friends, you sing zmiras, you have a tish. That's what yeshiva is all about. Yeshiva is the best part of yeshiva Shabbos. And you have to learn Hilcha Shabbos. That's another thing. You have to learn Hilcha Shabbos. Hilcha Shabbos is very difficult. But Baruch Hashem, we live in times that if you can't learn Mishneh Berurah, if you feel that it's too complicated, or even Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or even the Lama Tes Melachos book, there are many Svarim. Art Scroll has a great series that I give out a lot as Bar Mitzvah presents, or as Chasna presents, or as engagement presents. It's Reb Simcha Bunim Kain's work on Shabbos. They sell it in a box set. It's not so expensive, like $100 during the sale for a whole box of them. And you have one volume on the Shabbos kitchen. Every Shabbos, you learn by the table. My home, we learn by the table. Very often, Shabbos kitchen. So you know about Chazara, you know about Hatmana, you know about Bayer, you know about Tzlita, you know about all these things. You learn. It's very easy. You learn a couple. It's in English. There's, you know, the footnotes are lumdish on the bottom. You want to look at that. You know, you want to do a little more research. You'll read the bottom. But you have everything clean, plain, simple, summarized, beautiful. You walk away, you know, after reading it for 5 minutes, you know everything you need to know in the kitchen. And then there's a whole volume just on Amir L'Akum. Then there's every single volume is gold, and you have to know these things. But it's not the hardest thing in the world today to know Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, know Hilchos Shabbos. I remember we had to learn Mishnah Berurah, and then there was like one English sefer called Reb Shimon Eider. He was, you know, he had a 2-volume set, The Laws of Shabbos. It was like in a typewritten font, and it was like so complicated. My Rebbe used to test us on the Mishnah Berurah and that, and it was like so hard to put all the pieces together. Today, everything is so easy. You just have to get the book. We have it in yeshiva. You can take it. You don't have to buy it if you don't have the money. You should own it, but if you don't, and you can learn Hilchos Shabbos. And you can know Hilchos Shabbos pretty well with these svarim. You're not going to necessarily be a paisik from it, but you'll know enough not to be Mechal Shabbos through it. Or you should learn, if you learn Mishnah Berurah, that's even better, of course. But there are so many halachas we need to know. You know, a lot of the girls know Hilchos Shabbos backwards and forwards. They learn this in high school. They learn it in seminary. It's bizyanis. Guys, we don't learn Hilchos. We don't teach Hilchos Shabbos. You have halachas seder, you know, 5 minutes every morning. And, you know, how many people, you know, actually come to it and chazer and know it. And it's important to know Hilchos Shabbos before you get married. So you should start learning Hilchos Shabbos that also. But have Shabbos b'kedushas v'taharasai. And that will be a kapara, the Cheta Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Klal Yisrael and tells the masses, here's what you got to do to get a kapara for Hilchos Shabbos, for Avodah Zarah, for the Egel. Learn Shabbos. Sheish Yisrael Mateyasa Malacha. And nothing has changed throughout history. We have all of these types of Avodah Zarahs in our own life. That's what I was alluding to before. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, not just Avodah Zarah. I don't think Chas V'Shalom anyone has, you know, thoughts about Islam, Christianity, Hindu, Buddha, with all this garbage. No one's thinking that. But we sometimes do get very caught up in the isms of life. Isms. What are isms? Communism, socialism, Bundism. Like there's different things. Zionism, I'll throw in, you know, even though it's probably going to get me in trouble. There's a lot of different isms in life that become a religion in and of themselves. Doesn't mean you can't love Eretz Yisrael. But you don't have to like get caught up in the religion of Zionism and make, you know, like the founders of Zionism with Gedalia Olam, and they're infallible, and they, you know, there's a lot of problems with Zionism. It's not the Medina is not a perfect state, believe it or not. So we're not Chas V'Shalom Kanaim against it. We don't take to the streets against it. We don't have to, you know, like glorify it. It's an ism. It's an Avodah Zarah like any other Avodah Zarah. Communism is also an Avodah Zarah. You're not worshiping a Geshke, you're not worshiping an idol, but you're putting your whole life into this belief, into a belief system that's not in the Torah. It's an Amunah in something other than the Torah. That's Avodah Zarah. That's a worship that's foreign to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. And we have so many. Some people, it's Republicanism, Democratism. You know, some people, their whole life is meshuggah with, you know, where they listen to talk radio about this conservative side or the liberal side, and they're all fatumeling. They're always hacking about politics and Trump and you know, and Biden and, you know, all this. That's what we should be busy with. That's your whole halachielach in life. That's also shtikla Avodah Zarah. If you have all of these isms in your life, it's okay to know politics, but you don't have to like make it, you know, your meshuggah l'davar echad, that all you think about all day is politics. Who cares about it? It's not that important. What is important is Avaya and Rava and Rambam and Ravid and Mishnah Berurah and Yechaved Das. That's what's important. You're spending your precious time and brain cells on garbage? That's Avodah Zarah. How do you get out of the Avodah Zarah? Not by keeping Shabbos the way we're keeping Shabbos with our newspapers. That's fight to Avodah Zarah. Bring Avodah Zarah into Shabbos. You do it by learning Torah and by singing Zmiras, by making a tish together, and you want to read Gedalim books a little bit. It's not going to kill you. That's a nice thing to do on Shabbos afternoon. It's fine. But to bring Avodah Zarah into Shabbos is so, it's mamish like Tayel v'sharetz b'yadei. It's like you're trying to go to the mikvah and you're holding a sheretz in your hand. Whenever I say that, I have to, once I was brushing my daughter's teeth when they were little, I used to brush their teeth, and because I didn't trust them, because I knew when I was a kid, I would just turn the water on and brush my teeth, so I wanted to make sure my kids didn't do that to me. So I held the scrubbing. And with one daughter, all of a sudden, they stood online like waiting for me to brush their teeth, and one daughter, all of a sudden, like something red, like fell out of her mouth. I thought for sure I cut her tongue. I was brushing too hard, and the tongue popped out. Rahman al-Atlan. And I look on the floor, and it's a sucking candy. I said, "What are you doing? I'm brushing your teeth, and you're sucking a candy mouth. That's mamash tevel the sheretz biyade. You're going to the mikveh. You're holding a sheretz." But that's what it's like to go into the mikveh, which is Shabbos, and you're holding the sheretz. You're going weiter. You're reading your stuff, and you're reading your. And that's something that we have to very, very much be. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me also. It's something we have to, come Shabbos, Parshat Vayakel Pekudei, and most of the Sedra is, there's very little Rashi's because it's all pretty much Chazara of Truma Tetzava. So there's one thing always to speak about, there's one thing to focus on, and that's Shemir Shabbos. Sheish Hasyam Teyasa Melacha. And if we're able to do that, then we'll be able to find a kapara for all the Avodah Zarah l'minehem that constantly is plaguing us. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.